this first session, I had a plan that Jeff Sherrill would share from Costa Rica, because he's funny.
Yes.
And he loves the Lord, and he may yet be with us. But instead of preaching or sharing tonight, I just felt like maybe it would be good to explain why we're here, how this thing came about, and maybe even hear from some of your hearts pertaining to what the Lord has said and is doing and this sort of thing. You don't need to turn there, but I just want to read a scripture that says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all, and in all." What we've gathered here is pretty much those who embrace that reality, that we've embraced the cross as our death, and we've embraced the life of Christ as our life. More than a teaching, more than a message. There are many who hold the teaching of this, the message of this. But we have determined not to hold a message, but that this message become our life. Christ be the motivation and the life in all of us. And you know, just speaking from the perspective of this place, it is a church, it is a Bible school dedicated that Christians may leave the normal realm of just viewing Christianity as being saved and entering into what is the truth as it is in Jesus, that Christ is our life. And that, hence the name, Christ is Life Conference. Christ as life. Christ as life. And not just, oh yes, amen, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and nodding at some scripture. No. As Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And when the truth of that gets hold of you, and really, it gets you. You don't get it because people who get the message of this, they get something. They go and they lay hold of something. And they get it. But we are not those who went and got a message. We are those who have been gotten. Many of us tried to run. And the reality overtook us. The truth overtook us. The life overtook us. And we have embraced the reality that indeed with Christ we were crucified. And now there's one life left to live. It's not our life for him. It is Christ as life.
That's right. Amen.
And there is no other life. There is no life apart from Christ that is embraced by God. He is the only life. And so, this church, this Bible school was raised up to teach that because we couldn't find too many other places that seemed to be teaching. We said, you know, Jesus must be glorified. Not just a far away on a throne somewhere far away, but he must be glorified in the church. And so, years and years and years ago, all of this here was set into motion. Some years ago, Doug and I, along with others, began to travel together. Doug has the same story before these travels began to go, and he can tell you somewhat of churches and Bible schools himself. He and Debbie. But some years ago, we decided to minister together because we embrace the thought that in the mouth of two or three witnesses the word is established, and that when he would go to a conference somewhere and it was just him, it was good, but it wasn't as good. When I would go to a conference somewhere, it was good, but it wasn't as good as when we were together. J.W. will be speaking in the morning sessions. He and I do the same thing down in Mexico and many other places. And we both agree that there is effectiveness in those who have seen the Lord and embraced Him in this manner begin to minister together. And as we begin to do that, we've ministered in so many countries we can't, you know. A normal thing for Doug and myself is that we will be standing in some new country we've never been into, look at each other and go, well, he just starts it off. Well, Randy, here we are. And we've just been doing this for years and years and years. And we've seen a higher degree of effectiveness, such as in Cuba. Here we go into Cuba, and it's me and Doug and Jeff and Troy sitting back there has been with us. And the effects are tremendous as compared to just individual ministries running around doing it. It has been the collective joining of ministries. And it's been wonderful. It's been beyond what we expected. And yet, there has been, within the last year and a half, a burden in my heart that Jesus be glorified on a universal scale, on a greater scale. Because, I mean, He's worthy, amen? He is worthy. And yet, you know, you can turn on any TV and hear what we call a simple salvation message or a prosperity message or something else, but you can't turn on any TV and hear the preaching of Christ and being crucified. And yet, this is the truth that will make men free. I didn't say set men free, I said make men free. This is the one. And I guarantee that every ministry that has not, I'm not saying taught this, built it into the foundation of that ministry, has but men and women who are running the show, and it will fall apart, folks. People divide, but Christ is not divided. You can find the division between the most spiritual people, Paul and Peter and Apollos. You can find division anywhere except Christ Himself, and that's why we must be conformed to Him. It must be His life, because He will not be divided. His body will not be divided then, if the life fills every part. But if Christ is all in all, if we leave Greek and Jew and bond and free and Randy and Doug and this and that, and you begin to be filled with His life, with His nature, with His spirit, with His motivations, then you begin to see differences. Then there are differences, because then you're not finding people agreeing and then laying down things so that that agreement can work. You're finding people who've already been to the cross, and they got nothing to hold on to. They have nothing. Jesus is it. Jesus is all they got. Jesus is their life. They're not in a wrestling match with themselves, much less anybody else. They're not trying to shake themselves up. They're not trying to get over something. Can I get amen for that?
Amen.
They have the life of Christ being, certainly not in perfection, but certainly being formed in them to such a degree that this world is not their world. And the issues of this world are, can I say it? Petty. Now, I don't think it, as a pastor, I don't think it's petty for somebody if that's where they're at. But in light of the eternal, it is petty. It is petty. And so, this desire has just burned within me that Jesus be glorified on a greater scale, and that there have been succeeding generations, you know, way before we were ever alive, where there were people such as Watchman Nee, Jessica and Lewis, T. Austin Sparks, F.B. Meyer, on and on and on, Andrew Murray, all of these people were living at one time and ministering together at one time, and were at least an example of people who, they didn't have to give up their individual ministry names and whatever, but something happened within them that wanted to lift Jesus on a higher scale. And when they did, this message went around the world. And now when you go into the, if they have one, a classic book section in a bookstore, you'll find these writers. That's who you'll find them. Because they are venerated and honored, even to this day, even among Christianity, carnal Christianity, because they had something to say that was eternal instead of... Well, how do we do that, or what do we do? I don't know. I have no plan. I feel that this conference, however the Lord does whatever He does in our hearts, that it is up to Him, because He said, gather. And I feel I've done my part, and I believe it. But I believe with all my heart. It's something, and I don't know what or how or what. And again, this is very difficult to explain, and yet I don't think it's difficult to this group. Because most men would be standing up here talking about organizing something that would really whoop-de-doo. For those of you in other countries, that's... It's very similar to yee-haw. Sorry, other states also. You're in Texas now. But that's right. There is, the Lord drew us together. And I tell you what, I cannot express my gratitude for all of you coming and being here, and the expectation that I have from the Lord and what He's doing and what He's saying. And I said something in our prayer meeting last night, but for Albert and Ava to come as far as they have under the physical conditions that they've got and have come to be with us, to me, is so precious. It's so precious. And to see their faces here with us. And I'm so glad that they're getting to see your faces, those of you who have never met them, because we've talked much about them. And yet here they are. And we love them. And you can see why we love them. You sense it immediately why we love them. The Lord did them. The Lord knit. We're in Cuba. Troy and I get to spend a little bit of time together. Just a little here and there, and then all of a sudden one afternoon we got a break and we took a walk and we just talked. And when we shared, the knitting happened. And it was the Lord. That's why you can't explain it, and yet this group here will understand. And we were talking just before we began tonight. He had me share in his church. And I never saw such a reception of the word. How prepared their hearts were. How cultivated to love Jesus with all their heart, soul, and strength those people were. I was blessed. And yet, like every other group, Christ must be formed in that group, or they too will divide. And this too will divide. And this too. If divided, it will keep dividing, but Christ is not divided. Christ has to be formed.
That's right.
And that's the goal, and that's the hope, and that's the prayer. Amen. You have the people from Ireland. I mean, I was trying to, and I shouldn't do this, but I was trying to calculate, my goodness, six of them, how much money did they spend to be able to come here? And I will tell you, a lot compared to what they have. And I don't know how many banks they brought. But it's a lot. But that thing was done in Ireland. It was done. And the truth is, it was first done when Kelly went over there, Kelly and Molly, between Michael and them. And it was settled eternally, just done. That was before this church really raised up. And before it was, you know. And then when we started meeting with them as a group, just oneness. And yet, hunger that Christ be formed in us. Christ be formed in us as a group. Buddy Brooks is here, a good friend of mine for years and years and years. He knows a little something about division unless it's Christ. If you pastor, you find out that a church can break down and then break down again and break down again and then break down again and break down again. And it'll happen everywhere continually, and people will be divided, and they'll find some reason and some fault in you, because you know what? You have faults. That's why we must be conformed to the image of Christ. That's why it is ongoing, it is continuous, and our focus never leaves Him. We want Jesus formed in us. And I just believe, you know, I just believe that that's happening in all of Rob from Colorado, all of us here that are coming, and JW and others that will be here. There is a desire beyond our own understanding, and that's the best way I can put it. There's something working in our hearts that is beyond our own understanding. Let me not forget Wyman and Kathy. Yeah. And, you know, when I was a baby Christian in diapers, he was on the mission field preaching Christ. And yet, you still see divisions because Christ is not formed. Christ must be more than preached and more than partially formed. Amen? Yes. We must become the body of Christ. Yes. And on, I think it's on your little program. I can't find mine now. But what's it say on the front? They have a little line down the side that says, Gathered together in one. The truth is, in Christ, by His death and resurrection, we were already gathered together in one. Amen? That happened 2,000 years ago. What is happening here is that we are being gathered together as one, and the one is Jesus. We're not being gathered together to one. You understand what I'm saying? We're not just coming here to gather so that we'll hope Jesus will show up. We're gathered here denying our own selves, our own life. We're gathered here that Christ would be in the midst of each of us here, not here. We gather together in the desire that only one will be the motive of everything we do. Only one, Jesus, His nature will flow through and touch everything that we do. I envision a day when, and we'll give Kelly a chance and Doug a chance to talk about Roberto from Cuba, who couldn't be here, who desired to be here with much desire because of his embrace of Christ and Him crucified, and because of his gathering in spirit under this. His heart breaks during this season because he wanted to be here. We exposed ourselves in Cuba to the government there and put ourselves in harm's way to get him here if necessary, and still couldn't get it done. But there are others who are not here that desire so much to be here and to be part of what this is. And I envision one day that God will kick this up another level, another notch. And in that level, there will be men and women ministering together in countries all over this world. And you'll have people from Ireland and people from Holland and people from Costa Rica and people from Cuba and people from the U.S. and people from Mexico who stand up one after another in these places and minister the word, and it will be not only in the mouth of two or three witnesses, it will be neither Greek nor Jew nor bond nor free. People are going to see Jesus.
Amen.
They're not going to just hear Jesus. They're going to see Jesus.
Amen.
And it's going to have a powerful effect because men and women have left this place here, and they've gone to where there is neither Greek nor Jew, but they have come to a place where Christ is all, and in all, and meant to be all. And men's hearts who have been so knit together to one purpose, one eternal purpose, with one vision, and one heart, and one mind, and one body, with one Father, who will release the spirit of the reality of Christ, not just the teaching, who themselves have been slain on the altar of the cross so that Christ could come forth, who themselves are not just witnesses, but martyrs, as it were, too. They themselves have entered into it. And so these are some of the things that are on my heart. And I knew coming tonight, because I didn't prepare anything, I just wanted to begin to talk with you. And I know some of you, we've already talked, and I know your heart. But not everyone here knows you. And I wanted to ask you, what is the Lord saying to you? What, I mean, I know, you know, some, I think Albert said last night, well, he doesn't particularly like conferences. Well, we are, I admit it, and I apologize for it, but we're sneaky around here. This really isn't a conference. This is a gathering as one that Christ may be expressed through us. This really isn't a Bible school. We tricked them. It's a place to learn Christ and Him crucified. So we put that name on there, and they said, oh, I want to go to Bible school. And they got here and they found Jesus. And only a few have run out screaming. So, Diane, I'm going to ask you, Dan, if you want to come up with him, you can. If you'll just say a few words, I know you're all right.
Praise the Lord. How many of you also felt like you got tricked by Jesus? You know, if you go way back to when you first got saved, you didn't know at all what you thought this was all about. And, you know, he just says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. I didn't even, you know, get that when I was raised evangelical free. And then, you know, it's been quite a journey, as Randy put it, when he came master in the church, that as you go along and just being obedient, the Lord does abundantly above what you could ever ask or think. And what makes me so excited about our time together here is that I've just seen the Lord orchestrate so much that it's like the Bible is real, you know. And we all say, well, sure it is. No, I'm talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, us being one with Him and all. You know, it's like He has orchestrated our lives, even us being here tonight together. And a scripture that always speaks so loudly to me, that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God had beforehand ordained that we should walk in them. And I believe what we're here gathered tonight about is that we're just walking out that was what was in the heart of our Father before the foundations of the world. And that we have an opportunity to bring forth something that's always been there in Him. And that, to me, it's so awesome. It's like, you know, we go to these different countries, and, you know, every once in a while you feel like, man, we're right in the center of God's will. I mean, this is the will of not somebody far off somewhere, but that he's right here walking in us.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just, you come to appreciate the Lord more and more, even though you walk with him, like what Randy was saying, that he apprehended us, we didn't apprehend him. And I feel like I got apprehended. You know, and you can't get away from that. You just can't get away from that. It's not that you want to get away from that, but there's times when all of us probably feel like we would like to get away from that. You know, Jonah felt that way, but he couldn't even get away from that. And there's something about God's sovereignty, even in our lives, that there's no escape from what God's destined us to fulfill in our time. And I believe that we are at a crucial time in the history, not just because we're here together tonight, but not only does this nation, but the nations around the world, they need to hear this message. And they don't need to just hear people proclaiming a message. I remember years ago they said in China, they said, well, you know, we believe you're Jesus if it wasn't for the Christians. And they said, we don't need just people sending us Bibles. We need living epistles.
Amen.
And that's what's going to convert the world. That's what's going to cause the world to believe that God sent Jesus. I mean, it's all outlined in John 17, where this is the heart of Jesus praying for his own, that we might be one with him, even as. That just blows me away, to think that he would, this, that we would be one with him in the same way that he's one with the Father. Come on, Jesus, you're pushing this thing too far. You know, I can imagine having a relationship with you, but he's saying in the same manner. And it's for this purpose, that the world might believe. You know, the only hope for us is Christ, but the only hope for the world is they see Jesus through these vessels of clay. And, you know, the Lord brings us all through this what we call a journey, and we all come off of different paths, and he's taking us to different places. But look at, you know, I mean, every one of you have an incredible testimony. And to see where the Lord has all brought us to this place at this particular time. And my heart is like, okay, where do we go from here? Because I know after this is all over with, you know, well, a lot of us will be going back to our countries and everything. But I believe God's going to do something in us collectively as a body that is going to actually unite us in a greater measure than what we've ever dreamed possible. And it's not because this is something that we want. You know, it says what the Lord joins together, let no man put asunder. So I feel like this is something that the Lord is joining. It's not just like Randy, we're not going to another conference. I mean, how many of you have been at other conferences? My wife, the first years after I led her to the Lord, got saved, that's all we did is go to conferences. And I mean, even when we went on vacation, what was supposed to be a vacation always turned into going to a conference. But you know why that was? Because I was so hungry. I was so hungry for the Lord. And you know, that hunger has not waned in any measure at all. I am so hungry. You know, I didn't know I could be this hungry, but I'm hungry. And, you know, I commend those that have traveled as far as they have. I've done that a few times, but because I knew that somebody, somewhere, had something that I really needed that was Jesus. And so I go around the world 25 times. I'm not exaggerating. I would do that. You know, whatever it takes. And I think that's where so many of people stop in their walk with the Lord, is because they put a limit on just how far they want to take this. And I think that our purpose here is not to put any limits on it whatsoever. I want the Lord to take us places we've never been before. And, of course, it's going to make us all feel uncomfortable at times. But how many have gotten used to a little bit of that, too? You know, that's what the Lord had to do with me and Debbie so many years ago when he took us out of our own country, because you couldn't see the forest for the trees. And he took us and placed us overseas for a number of years. And it just gave us a different perspective on the way life really was. You know, here in America, we get so bogged down with the way we see things. And when you get out and you see what the Lord's doing in other nations, you find out it's not about America. Even though we've done a lot to promote the gospel, but a lot of what we've promoted in so many nations, we're having to go in and tear out those foundations because it wasn't the incorruptible seed. You know, and unless it's the incorruptible seed, then there's such a mixture that people are really confused because they haven't seen the real Jesus. And I believe that God has taken us through a process to bring forth a pure seed. That doesn't mean that we're any close to being perfect, but we know who He is. And that's who we're after, and that's what's being formed in us. And you know, I really believe that as long as Jesus stays a baby Jesus in us, then the Father's heart can't be fulfilled. If we stay immature, that seed that Satan tried to kill so many times can just remain in its infancy or not in any place to where that it could really do damage, where the kingdoms of this earth becomes the kingdoms of our Lord. But I believe this is what's on the Lord's program. It always has been. And I know that the scriptures say that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro over the whole earth to show Himself strong to those who have a perfect heart towards Him. And so, Randy and I, the Lord divinely, it was again one of those appointments where He heard me share somewhere and they start sending us some money every month. And how many know missionaries really could use some money? I mean, when Debbie and I left, we didn't have any churches that were behind us on any substantial measure at all. And He just started sending me some money every month, and her parents, of course, were wondering, how in the world are these two living? Well, I didn't really care. You know, I mean, she did a little bit more than I did. You know, but I said, all you got me is I had a guitar and a car when we got married. And went to the mission field. And you know, that wasn't our idea. Folks, honestly, I never wanted to be in the ministry. Never even. I'm an old Iowa farm boy. You know, I just, you know. And under the stars, man, God just, I mean, everybody was going different directions at that time during the Vietnam War and college and everything. And I just really asked the Lord, what in the world do you want from me? And so, anyway, He got a hold of me and hadn't turned me loose yet. But they start sending us some finances every once in a while. And I'm going to get it. I mean, I just say, thank you, Jesus, you know. But then one day, He came down to Costa Rica. 2 years later. Wyman came with them, I believe, and Skip. And they just came at a time when we were so busy, which we always were, right? In the ministry, that's what proved your spirituality, is to stay busy, you know. No, but we had a group there, and I was just getting ready to leave to the States, and Deb says, you got some visitors.
His Deb, your Deb.
My Deb said that to me. And so I came home from, I don't know, we had Bible school going day and night then, and they were sitting in my house. And I was just, okay. You know, we had a lot of people come through, and we just, Randy and them just started opening their heart and sharing with us, and I thought, I cannot believe this. We're on the same page. You know, and that's just where I really felt. I don't know how he felt with me, but I just felt, man, this was the Lord. And somehow, that was close to over 20 years ago or more. And, of course, since then, we've been down a lot of roads together. And like I said, with just there's a certain amount of people probably you could count on your own hand that if you ever had to go to war, you wouldn't mind them being in the foxhole with you. They're not going to leave you. And I can say that with Randy. We have gone through some battles together, and you know, it really shows what you know what the Lord's done, and we've had to you know cover for one another, and I feel that way that the Lord wants to extend that same with all of us, you know, because it's not just a few here tonight. I mean, there's a good Jesus only had 12, so I know that that spirit is in us, and I really feel like during these days that we have together, like Debbie said, just let's really take advantage of sharing our hearts with one another, because so much more is going to get done outside of the conference, what we call, what we share from a pulpit. It's when we get into one another's hearts. And that's where I think the real knitting is going to take place. It'll be both. We'll enjoy hearing from everyone what God has for them to share from here. But I think I just want to get to know people. All of you, I know a lot of you from the Bible school, but those that have come and I've heard about Wyman for so many years, you know, from Randy and JW. So let's take advantage of that time together. And so, praise God.
I think we need to hear from Michael Finnegan for a couple of reasons. One is because I know he has a like heart pertaining to the Lord and wanting whatever we do in this gathering or whatever we do anywhere, that it really be the Lord and not be the hands of man. And the other reason why I think he needs to share is so that he can begin to get used to his accent. So Michael, would you come on here?
We worked together for quite a while in building. And One day when things weren't really good, I don't mean between us, but it was a time when my life was falling asunder, as far as I knew. Either Christians or the devil or the flesh or God or somebody was messing me up. as those of you who have any spiritual experience will realize, about 2 years later I realized it was God. anyway, John's singing away these half snatched the song, even someone like me went to Poker School instead of Sunday school. I recognized them as the from the Song of Solomon. And they were new to me, and I knew they were new to John. I said, where do you hear that stuff, John? Where do you hear these songs? So we said it was this American girl staying with him, and writing some songs, singing, leading worship with him. So, okay, so we went on, and you know, it'd be a little bit more with these half snatches, and you know, I went into the I'd like to hear them, because I wonder what the songs would be like with a tune to them. So he invited me down to their place, leading a church in a town near us, and but then he called me on the phone. He says, look, when you're coming down, he says, you're going to preach in our place. Will you preach when you're down here? And then, once again, you know, you have to earn your lunch, you know, something. So I said, yeah, well, of course. And I prepared to come down and to speak. And, you know, something solid and safe and secure and uncontroversial. You know me. But in the early hours of Sunday morning, God got me up, and there's a change of plans, a change of message. But that is okay. I know God does that sometimes. There's something He wants to say, what He wants to say. And He's not really too pushed over the preacher what to say. So He does this. Time to time, and did it with me again. And so I went down and speaking. I can't remember did I even get to shake hands or say hello to Kelly before the meeting started. Probably not, because us folks have the habit of not being there before the meeting starts. Such a journey, so I was. So Kelly's singing away, playing away, worshiping away, and so then came my turn to come up and speak. So I hope to speak. That wonderful picture that John saw, and God just caught him up, come up and see. He saw Jesus in the midst, you know, walking amongst the churches, and began to speak about this. And a very funny thing happened. It's not many people get a word in once I start. But a funny thing happened because I was speaking, Kelly was playing and singing, and I was speaking. And that kind of thing, you know, it really was, I knew there was something going on. If I can think of it, I wondered. But anyway. John was sparking something, that there was something very real, something very that even in that first brief meeting, that God was speaking the same thing, not just through us, to us, about His Son, about life. And so that's where I met folk from here, and you know, typical
life, the same spirit, the same heart, the same reality of having and hungering. It's not starving, it's hungering, it's healthy. Having and hungering. And I knew that, yes, God is God and God is alive and Christ is real. And it's not about getting up on ungodly earth on Sunday morning to go off and do stuff. It's knowing Him, walking with Him and in Him. It's life. Anyway, I'm going to stop preaching that. That's how I met someone close. And then a year or so later, Kelly came back with a group of young people. Yeah? Looking as young as you were then, you know. Because you see, one thing I've been a Christian for 33 or 4 years is you realize that adults and older folks can carry anything off for a weekend. We know how it is a law. Yeah, well, and even be nice to each other for a weekend. It's not a short weekend. It's not a weekend. You can do it, you know. But I know that younger people are no good at that. And so when a year and a half or 2 years ago, whatever, you know, that team was over, yes, year and a half ago, to meet not clones, God forbid to be clones of any of us. You know, it's wonderful, the mercy of God, it's all one of us, never mind clones of us. But not clones, but the same spirit, the same reality, the same wonder. And there, in this much younger generation. And then the young married came over and left, just in August past, and a few others as well. Hopefuls, whatever they're called. just to meet the same Jesus. Yeah. To meet the same Jesus. It's not a con. It's not a religious thing. It's not a put-on thing. Not even that. It's not even that good Christian thing that's just that's something else than Jesus thing. It's not even that. So that's why we're all fine, because we wanted to be here. I don't know Randy knows that, because I don't know yet. that's why we want to be here. Because it's just to know, we know it anyway, but just to experience it and be able to express it and just to exhilarating it and enjoy it and luxuriating it. Hear of Him, you know, before the principalities and powers, before, you know, just while we're still in the earth, that we would share His glory together. So we're glad to be here. Thanks very much. As well as that, we're of an age that Nicholas Bowles. On me,
just
looked at
I just cut my
no intention of the future. Where Jesus reads, or reading Jan, reading what Jesus reads. Really are now just here.
Well, praise the Lord. Albert, would you be open to come in and share a little bit with us? And speak in your heart. We're just glad to have you here.
I cannot say what a joy it is for my wife and me to be here. It's a miracle, actually, because I decided a few years ago that I would never go back to the States. Because, not because I didn't want to, but because of my back problems, my health, I thought, it's over, this big long trips. But the Lord has a different way. And still don't understand how we came to know them. Not fully clear. Have to look at one person here. We see it was who contacted us through an email, I think. We have been publishing Brother Theosin Sparks' literature for almost 20 years now in a bi-monthly magazine done by our fellowship together. And five, 6 years ago, a tremendous disaster happened in our fellowship. Death was working on every side. If God had been gracious, I think I would have given up and would have said, what God wants, I see, but it's impossible. It's just impossible. True, isn't it? It is impossible. It is impossible. But man, absolutely. You can try and work hard, but it's just impossible. We decided to continue, although with just a few of us, to continue 5, 6 years ago in the ministry, the written word, and send it out to those who want it. I don't know how you got it, Missy, first copy, but it was the Lord's doing, I'm sure. We don't say anything about ourselves in this magazine. It's just a republishing Sparks' ministry. One of our brothers writes a short letter of introduction, and that's it. After a few emails, I think we got the impression that there was something special in it, something God was doing. No one knew about the problems we had. We had gone through the death in working. But he knew, and so it just, when I think about it now, it almost moves me to tears. How he sent some from the other side of the world who had gone through death also. And so when finally Randy and Debbie and Kelly came, the three of you, no? Yes, the first of three. And she was not there the first time, no. We knew from the beginning the Lord had sent them. When we heard one of the first evenings you shared something about, which was a difficult job for you, I remember that, to share what you had gone through when it came back, I think, or when it came back in your mind, right? It was just what we had gone through. And so, you know, when the enemy comes in and just wants to give up, wants you to give up. Give up faith that what God wants is really possible. And also the feeling that you are just you. You are alone. Yeah. Am I wrong somewhere?
Yeah.
Everyone else.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
That's right.
Yes.
That's
right. The thought comes, you're rejected, but it comes back.
Yeah, exactly.
And so in that situation, God sent them to us. And we couldn't believe it. I mean, just the same burden, the same thing we had gone through, the death working in us, just devastating things, really devastating, destroying everything. And God had brought him out. Which was hope for us. Real encouragement. it's not a matter of, I don't know about you, but you're a very good friend, maybe different characters, probably.
Thank you.
We are. It's not a natural attraction, not at all. There's something that draws you together. Someone.
Yes.
Not something, someone. That binds you together. The Lord knew we needed encouragement. It's so great for Missy that she was faithful to what she understood from the Lord. When we got an invitation to come here, it was not a kind of sense of duty, because the young people had come in this last summer to work with us, and we enjoyed so much having them. We only blamed them for staying such a short time. That was the only thing we could blame them on. Not that more work needed to be done, not for that reason. When we were invited to come here, I thought, no, it's not possible. My friend and therapist, who keeps me going all the time, he's just doing a great job with my back every time. And he said, you cannot travel. We travel regularly to Romania, which is only a few hours flight. You should not go. Every time I come back from Romania and he treats my back, I said, I tell you, you should not go to Romania anymore. That time is gone. He doesn't understand why I go again. Then, when I thought about this invitation going here, I told the Lord, Lord, if you want me to go, you are responsible. You are responsible. If you say yes, I will go. And the physical side is yours, your side. I give that to you. You know what you are doing? If you say yes, I'll go. And when I decided yes, I will go, after much prayer in the little fellowship we have also, much prayer about it, I told my wife it would be probably better for her to stay at home. Not that I wanted her to come, but her health was not very good. Had a few problems. But she knew from the Lord herself to come with me, which was a great joy to me.
Amen.
I'm happy she's with me. I even wonder how I could have made it here. It is so grateful to be here, to share Christ with you. We have been so encouraged by you all. Once we got a letter from Glenton, I think a card with all best wishes, and so all the names, we try to remember them. Forgive me that I cannot remember all the names, but we'll get to know you, even if I don't know your name. We will share Christ together. And, I've not come here actually to preach here, or to minister here. It's just to share Christ with you, to learn from you. And God is here. Christ is with us. And we're so grateful. I have to say before I finish, we are so grateful for the way we were received here. You received us with such a love and care. I mean, I feel ashamed to sit in that big chair. I feel just in the same way when I was in India once in a conference in the Himalayas, a real Indian conference. And there were about 1,500 people in a big hall sitting on the floor, as they all do. For 3-4 hours, they just sit on the floor. Their legs crossed and they're listening. Not much space left, because 1,500 people, maybe the wrong place for 1,000, but we all pressed in. And I couldn't make it. The first meeting, I was sitting there. I'm like, this is not right, I cannot make it. And so the brothers found out about it, and the next meeting there was a huge chair. In the somewhere there. And I was the only one sitting off. these boys from the Nepali boys were there from Nepal and the young boys especially, they wanted to sit near my chair because they want to win. Surrounded by bodyguards taking care of me. But I really am grateful for the care you have taken for us. The little cottage we are allowed to live in. It's a great blessing to us. The all of you are. We're looking forward to more of that.
Amen.
The Lord bless us all together.
Amen.
Thank you so much for your love. Amen. Thank you, Brother, for sharing. So, I think from some of this you're getting an idea of just the knitting that the Lord has done, just an incredible thing in the Spirit all over the world. And the same thing with Roberta. We'll let Doug share one of the days about this relationship and what's happened. But God is just doing something, and He's doing it for higher purposes than organization and organization names and that.
Right.
And slapping something on there that we can say, look what we're doing.
Right.
I don't want to do anything. I want it to be the life of Christ in me, or nothing at all.
Amen.
And my hope of glory is Christ in me.
That's right.
And that's what I'm dependent on, but I sense that God is knitting us for a greater purpose than what we've all had before.
That's right.
And the bad thing about it is that I can't stand up here and tell you what that is or how. I don't know. I wanted this gathering so that we could find out. And if we only found out in the Spirit, we would know. So we can look one another in the eye and just, you know, I had that relationship with son. It's like my relationship with Joseph back there. We have a great relationship. But we don't really spend a lot of time together or anything, but we have this eye thing where we can look one another in the eye and we just know. But everything's cool. Buddy and I, in that way. We know. And we're carried by life. And we're carried into eternal purpose together. And so that's what I'm looking forward to. Before we end, Jim, would you come up here and share a little bit, just from your heart? I'm considered, although we don't really use that title a lot or whatever, but the senior pastor around here, and Jim is the pastor, meaning that he does all the work. And watches over the flocks by night. So Jim, why don't you just come up and step in?
My goodness. From the inception of this year, the Lord has impressed our body that there is an urgency of the Holy Spirit to bring forth the sons of God. An urgency and a seriousness in whatever way that can happen. But it has brought us as a body to our knees to say, we want to be about the Lord's business, which is His Son. Doug took my scripture. he just flat took it. In Ephesians 2:10 is the passage he quoted. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, there's only one good work, and that's Christ. He is the good work. And we were created for that, for His workmanship, and brought unto Him He has captivated me. He's got a hold of me, as he has got a hold of you all. And to such a degree there's no consideration of anything else but Christ, is there? There's no other life. And maybe there are some here that haven't come to that realization yet, but we would see Jesus, and we truly will. And it's just so much, this is so much non-conference. We've been saying that for quite some time. And the sharing during the after hours and the between sessions and eating over during dinner time and just getting into one another and sharing the life of Christ in each of us. That's what it's about. And so it's more than a message, isn't it?
Amen.
It really is. It's about a life. It's about Him. Now I was reflecting some on the different fellowships that are represented here. And there are no mega fellowships represented here. And just think about that. We're all parts of small bodies. And there's a purpose in that. We've been brought together by the Lord. And the Lord's been showing us how serious He is about His body. How He desired a place of residence. And how He so much desired that even throughout the what we call the Old Testament, how He prepared a place to show the seriousness of a place, a house for Him to inhabit. And so much so that He is desirous that there be no individuals, there be no recognition of an individual, but that He takes those individual seeds and He crushes them and He grinds them so that there's no longer an identity. There's no longer an individual identity, that we're ground and then we're put together to build a body for His habitation. But in the glorious things, He goes beyond that because there's resurrection out of that. There's resurrection out of that death. But the resurrection's for a purpose too. He raises up the body in resurrection for further death. To be poured out, to be given out to others, that they might have life. And so we gather together as representatives of our small bodies, but we come together as one. And as we've spoken, there's no separation in Christ. There's all one. I wanted to read over in Philippians chapter 3. The passage. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're here for. We're eagerly expecting to see the Lord Jesus Christ in each one of us. That's to expect fully. We put our expectations in Christ, don't we?
Yeah.
He is our expectation, and He's faithful, and He's true. And so we can put our expectation to see fully Jesus as we gather together. And we would see Jesus. And then, lastly, I shared a passage this past Sunday out of Jude, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, that passage just means so much. This is what we're about. We're building one another up. We're building, not building myself up, but we're building one another up in the Holy Ghost. Most holy faith. And that's what we're, there's no other reason to really, to remain here on earth, but to build one another up in Christ Jesus. To build one another up. And that's that rivers of living water just that flows through us. It just flows through us to others to build up, and to encourage and to encourage in the Lord. Amen. Encourage us. I'm excited. It's a inward anticipation of the Lord Jesus. Of seeing the Lord this weekend and seeing him in different ways and through the various representations of his body here. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thinking while Jim was talking, but the scripture says the word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. That's the real, the Greek word there. It's not just dwelt among us, he tabernacled among us. And that one of the things that God is trying to awaken his church to is we have this picture in the Old Testament of God coming down in the tabernacle, and outside of that tabernacle or temple was where all the people dwelt, and they went to the tabernacle or the temple to meet with God. And so when we read that he tabernacled among us, we get that same Old Testament picture that he's among us, and we have to go to the temple or tabernacle to get there. But the truth is that we are the tabernacle of God. We are the temple of God. And there's not a bunch of people dwelling outside that come and gather to us. We are the people. We are the tabernacle. We are that temple. We are what's inhabited. And when it says that he came and dwelt among us, it's through us. It is through us. It is his life. And he is wanting to fill up the tabernacle and fill up the temple. And he's wanting to rend the veil. For what purpose? To fill up the full temple. So that there aren't any of us out here ministering doing our own thing for God.
That's right.
So that when that veil is rent and we look into his face, we're changed into that same image from glory to glory. And Christ becomes all and in all. And all of a sudden it's no longer a religion, it's life.
Amen.
Life takes over the church.
Yeah, that's right.
Glory to God. Anybody excited about that? Anybody have some proof to pray about that? Anybody can pray it within 2 minutes? Let's stand together. Everyone that can, everyone doesn't have to, but we're gonna close with one prayer. Thank you, Lord. Timothy, would you come up here and just close us with a word of prayer?
Thank you, Father, for this time we have together, Lord, to fellowship in the resurrection, your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. Father, thank you that you're gathering us together as a testimony, Father, of the true life, your Son, Jesus Christ, who your Son is, Lord. Father, I thank you for those here who have that heart, Lord, to live in the resurrection, Father. Who have renounced that death of Adam and have embraced the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ, and what it means. Father, this conference is Christ's life. We desire that he would be the life, Lord, and that life would be formed in us, that there would be no divisions, Father. Yeah. Father, as I was sitting in this chair before, I thought about what Randy said about if Christ is formed, there would be no divisions. It reminded me of a passage I read in Ephesians 1 in the Weymouth translation, working very hard. That there would be one government, Lord, and one life in this world, Lord. And your heart's desire, Father, that there be no divisions in this world, Lord, that we would be one in you, Father. Father, we desire to uphold that which is in your heart, Father. To be that testimony, Father, of your heart and that oneness in your one Son, Jesus Christ, Father.
Yes.
We share in that urgency that your Son would be formed in us, Father.
Yes.
And that your heart, Father, might have expression in this earth, Lord. That your glory, Father, would cover this earth through your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. We are here today, Father, sharing that urgency. Not here just to fellowship, Father, and just to have a good time with one another, Lord. But that we would leave this conference, Father, in a few days, with that urgency deepened in each and every one of us, that the seed that you have placed in us, Father, might come to full maturity, Lord. And you might be glorified through your Son, Jesus Christ, that you have placed in us, Lord. We thank you for this conference, Lord, and ask that you speak loudly and boldly, Father, and that we would leave here changed, Father, that we would leave here changed, Father. And this conference would have great impact, Father. That we would be about your business, Father. That we would be and you share with me a year ago, Father, how you have gathered us and has set us for the defense and the confirmation of the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. The confirmation of the true life, the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. We desire your Son would be glorified, Father, corporately, that your glory might be seen in the earth, Father. Thank you, Father. In your Son's name we pray, Father. Amen.